I'm ready, Mimi.
Okay, darling, tell everyone how old you are.
I am 8 years old.
And what's one of your favorite outdoor activities right now?
My favorite outdoor activities right now is roller skating.
Yeah, we roller skate a lot. The other night when we were roller skating, what did you tell me?
I told you that I could find my way back home.
Yeah, so you didn't want me to direct you. And then last night when we went out roller skating, you told me you had a new goal. What was that goal?
To get lost and find a way back.
That's awesome. So you don't think that you need GPS? That wouldn't be a benefit?
What's that?
Exactly. Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising children in a culture saturated with media and technology. Well, hey there, friends. Thanks for joining me today. We are in our series evaluating the popularly touted benefits of kids' smartphone ownership. And we're asking the question, are these benefits truly beneficial? And more than that, are they biblical? Are they biblically aligned with what we know to be true about Christian discipleship? Well, last week we talked about his number one benefit of outdoor safety. And today we're covering the second benefit that Dr. Peter Gray lists on his Substack article, and that is navigation. I think they cross over a little bit, but there's still more, a lot more than we can say about that that we're going to get into today. So he doesn't give much explanation or background on this benefit for kids, but he does offer this, quote, "The outdoor world is far more navigable with a smartphone than without. Because the phone's GPS can provide maps and directions to any destination." Okay, well, easy enough. So once again, I want to begin by affirming what he states about navigation is true, right? Maps and GPS features that are available on a smartphone are a tremendous benefit. Personally, I use GPS anytime that I'm traveling on highways or roads that I know to be always congested with traffic or construction. I use it a lot of times to just estimate my travel time to know when to leave. It's really beneficial. And of course, if I'm going somewhere new, if I'm traveling to speak or do something like that, goodness, I'm using it constantly to navigate around new cities. So yes, the world is more navigable with a smartphone. But I think that's especially true for adults who in the course of their adult life spend a lot of time in the car. At the same time, I would also say that navigation is equally beneficial for teenagers who drive, right? Those teens who are 16 and older who have gotten a driver's license and have to learn to navigate around their town, new cities, all of that. So yes, very beneficial for them as well. But the question before us today, is navigation a valid and beneficial reason to give children ages 5 to 15 their own smartphone? Because remember, that's the age range that we are looking at. I talked about the introduction because these tech advocates don't describe what is, quote, a kid. And since we generally say that kids can have smartphones at 16 and over, then we're looking at this range of 5 to 15, which we know a lot of people give their children smartphones during that time. So does GPS features function as the same benefit for kids this age as it does for adults? Or is it a substitute or an outsourcing for something valuable during childhood? That's the question. Because the issue isn't about whether GPS can get you from point A to point B, right? We know that it can. The issue is what GPS navigation trains our child to become and how it disciples them to think and believe. Now, anytime we evaluate a technological tool biblically, we need to ask more about whether it's useful or convenient, because almost all the time these tools are. We also need to ask, what does this tool cultivate, especially when it comes to children? Last week with outdoor safety, we spoke about prudence and independence, and how neither of them are developed with a smartphone. Likewise, today, we can ask, does GPS navigation cultivate prudence and competence, or does it outsource these virtues? And if they are outsourced, what remains? Now, scripture describes maturity as something that is trained by practice. Hebrews 5:14 says that solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil, right? So maturity comes through constant practice. It's discernment that is developed over time. It's not something that is downloaded and accessed instantly. Maturity doesn't work that way. And again, we can go back to Proverbs 22:3 that says the prudent sees danger and hides himself, right? We know that prudence is not just merely knowledge. It's the habit of practicing and using knowledge, of noticing, anticipating, choosing wisely. Well, when we looked at outdoor safety last week, and Dr. Peter Gray said it's a safety tool because if a child gets lost, they can find their way home. But you know, in reality, I think it's more likely that a child would get lost if they have a smartphone because that smartphone is going to distract them and they're not going to pay as close of attention to their surroundings as they kind of like roam freely. Now, this isn't the sole fault of the child, but the mere fact that we all need to recognize is that smartphones have intentions built into them. They want to capture the child's attention. Like they want, well, even adults, right? They want us as smartphone users to spend time tapping buttons, swiping, typing, scrolling. That's the goal, is maximum engagement. So regardless of the reason on why a child gets lost, prudence, plain and simple, isn't opening Google Maps to get home, right? That's not competence. That's convenience. And so that's what we're talking about when we're saying, are these skills, these virtues of prudence and competence being outsourced? Because if there's something that's just super convenient that you can do instead, well, then there's something being lost. So basically, if a child grows up always knowing, oh, I can just pull out my phone and it will tell me wherever I need to go, right? The child is less likely to develop critical skills that we know are necessary. So these are skills such as like situational awareness, right? Seeing signs, landmarks, people, noticing risks, right? That all occurs when you are looking up and around at the world around you, not looking at a phone. Also the skill of like memory and sequencing, right? Knowing the route order, retracing steps. Also, problem solving, especially problem solving under pressure, being able to think calmly when uncertain or disoriented. And then also appropriate help seeking, right? If they don't have a phone or the phone has died, right? They need to be able to recognize who a safe adult is and how to ask for those directions. And also, again, prudence, choosing safer routes, noticing danger or risks. And all of this, these aren't just like hypothetical virtues or skills that may or may not be used. They're always used, right? A child who has never looked out the window as mom and dad has been, you know, driving around their hometown all their life because they've always been like looking down at a screen, they're not even going to learn their own town or community to know how to get around. And those kids, as they grow up, right, if they've never learned to have situational awareness, memory, sequencing, these kind of things when it comes to navigation, these are those who are going to have an absolute panic attack, right? Crumble if their battery dies in their phone, if Wi-Fi is somehow unavailable, if the app won't load for some reason, you can't actually get directions, they're not going to even have the wherewithal to navigate their way through life, through their lost, you know, but lost in the woods, lost in a town, whatever that may look like. So these skills are important in all of life. It's not just navigation. because there's lots of times when we can feel lost metaphorically. But I do want to say, because I know this argument will come, because I've heard it already, that you know what video games teaches, this sort of situational awareness and memory sequencing and problem solving under pressure. And so, you know, it's just fine. Kids can play these video games. They're going to learn all these skills if they're not learning them in real life. And that, I believe, is just not true, because you can always hit escape in a game or the X button or whatever it is that shuts it off, right? But a child who is somehow lost or disoriented at downtown because they got separated from a group, or they went hiking and they got lost and they're alone on a trail, you can't just end the game, right? They have to be able to help themselves. They have to know how to exercise prudence and competence to save themselves. Well, now, honestly, you know, because Peter Gray is an evolutionist, it actually surprises me in a way that he doesn't apply his survival of the fittest framework to this benefit. I mean, surely, right, when a child is lost or disoriented, like their survival skills, which have apparently evolved over millions of years, should kick in, and that child then uses every resource they've evolved to have to survive. But he doesn't do this at all. He just says, hey, the world is much more navigable with GPS on a smartphone. So it's like, no need to evolve any more survival skills in this regard, right? We just got the phone and that's all we need, which makes me wonder how much of a transhumanist he is. He believes that technology, you know, is going to be our salvation, but that's probably a whole nother podcast. But I think there's another entire layer here that we as parents so often miss in the just sheer convenience and comfort that smartphone apps like Google Maps offer us. And that is that scripture repeatedly describes life in navigational terms, like which path or which way, the steps that you take, whether you turn to the left or to the right. Well, spiritually, if we want to know where we are going, we need to know who we are following. And when we know who we're following, right, we can trust them. We can follow their directions, their navigation. Well, this spiritual guidance overflows into the trajectory of our lives, right? It defines and directs our purpose and how we actually live. So let's take a look at some of these verses, because I really want you to grasp this. So I'm going to go through a lot of verses here pretty quickly, but I'll have them all listed in the show notes if you want to reference them. First, let's look at how God's word is referenced as a map, a light, and a guide. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Psalm 119:133, direct my footsteps according to your word. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Right? So you see, God's an active guide. He's not passive. We also see that God's way or his path is the moral direction that we are to travel on. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We know this one. And it says, submit all your ways to him and he will make your paths straight. One of my favorites, Jeremiah 6:16, the Lord says, stand at the crossroads. And look, ask for the ancient paths. Ask which way the good way is and walk in it, and you find rest. Isaiah 30:21, another one of my favorites. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And God's word also speaks of staying on course. Deuteronomy 5:32-33. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in obedience. Proverbs 4:27 also says, do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Prudence right there. Also, we see that God's word talks about like a literal lostness and wandering and being brought back home. In Luke 15, we see the parable of the lost sheep. And Isaiah 53:6, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. Psalm 119:176, I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. Ezekiel 34, long passage, I'll just summarize it, 11 through 16. The Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after a scattered flock. I will rescue them from all the places that they were scattered. We see the Lord is rescuing us. He is seeking to save us. And then we also see how God's word speaks of two roads, two gates, referring to the choices in life that we have to make and the outcomes, right? Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate. Broad is the road that leads to destruction and many enter through it, but small is the gate. Narrow is the road that leads to life and only a few find it. I want to find that road, right? I have to know who I'm following. Proverbs 14, 12, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end leads to death. Proverbs 2, 11 through 15, longer passage, but wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men who have left their straight paths and now walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong, right? So you can see over and over again this navigational verse. Let me see what else I have. Walk. Walk is a whole life direction. We see that over and over in scripture. Micah 6, 8, walk humbly with your God. Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Ephesians 4:1, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Colossians 2:6, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And also, we have the verses that speak to the providence of God, the sovereignty of God, and how our steps are ordered by him. Proverbs 16:9, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Proverbs 20:24, a person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way? And Psalm 37:23-24, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So, all of those verses, that was a lot of them, I know, but it just goes to show. I mean, I had to cut a lot out. There were so many that I found. This language is not accidental. It's as if I think that, you know, God is training us to think like travelers, like maybe, you know, sojourners, right? In this life that he has given us. And to be, you know, a competent traveler, you need to be attentive. You need to be obedient. You need to be humble, teachable, and willing to return to the right path when you stray or drift. Now, I know much of this biblical language serves as a metaphor, right? Comparing real world on the ground navigation to moral, obedient, faithful life direction. And so I'm really not trying to over spiritualize it, but I do think that there is something deeper here that our children can learn from. Because when we teach our children to be competent, prudent navigators in real life, right? Teaching them literal navigation, such as noticing where they are, how to retrace steps, how to stay calm, how to ask for help, aren't we also at the same time helping them practice a deeper spiritual skill of how to respond when they are spiritually lost or disoriented? Because it's going to happen, right? Life gets hard. Life requires some agonizing decisions that you don't know, like which path to take. Life forces upon you setbacks and delays and reroutings, right? But there is a present joy and eternal value in knowing these scriptures and standing on God's promises to guide our steps, right? His warnings for us not to stray, knowing that we can trust him to continue leading us in the direction that he has, to work all things for good because we love him and we are called to his purposes. I mean, I know when I think back to the hardest seasons of my life, I can tell you my heart and mind turned to God for direction, not to my smartphone. So my concern, of course, as I've stated many times, is that children, however, are learning to lean on technology, to depend upon, to trust their smartphone, to obey its notifications, to follow the path of the world before they truly learn who ultimately guides their life and is what I'm going to call like the original and eternal global positioning system, right? God is the original GPS. When you just consider how much time is spent in God's word, learning to trust and understand his character and his sovereignty, especially for our kids, right? Versus how much time is spent on a smartphone, right? It's easy to recognize how this is also an authority problem. Our children are obeying their smartphone, partly because of convenience, partly because of its persuasive and personalized design, but also because they're learning it from such a young age. They don't need to look to God's word as the authoritative truth for all of life and godliness because, you know, with a smartphone, they feel like they have some godlike abilities to do things, right? So they don't look to God's word for direction, which path to take, which way to walk. So why would they? They have Google, right? That's their compass and their navigation. When they need to know which way to go, they consult their smartphone. They survey their social media following. They query AI. They're not going to God's word unless we show them that, unless we show them how to do that and the value of doing that, when we model that. I think that so many of the tech shortcuts that we give our kids, including everything AI, they aren't the tools that we think that they are because they're tools for us as adults, but they are displacing a child's development of critical skills that are really only learned in childhood as they come of age. Yes, they're convenient and they're efficient, and that's often all that we see. But again, a smartphone does not merely add GPS navigation to a child's life. It adds the entire digital world into their hand, into their pocket. This digital world comes with persuasive and personalized design that causes them to forego critical childhood skills, all for the sake of what? Entertainment and information? And the saddest part is they don't even realize what they're missing. That's why it's our job to recognize and then intervene and say, no, like you still have prudence, maturity, and competence to be developed before you can rely on this smartphone for convenience, right? Remember, not everything is beneficial. And as I wrap this up, I just want to add this too, because I didn't even address this, but I think it's worthy of recognizing what we just talked about. Does it begin to address the terrible reality that some parents have experienced with rebellious kids having access to navigation apps? And I am one of those parents. And that is that they can navigate themselves anywhere, right? When you have a navigation app, you can figure out and find anywhere you want to go, right? It's obvious, right? But if they want to meet someone online, have like a secret meetup, they want to meet that person face-to-face in person, a navigation app will show them, provide them the exact way to this person, you know, whether it be in a dark alley or in a house in a suburb. I mean, but it will give them the exact way. And who knows what happens then, right? The app can also, right, be used to avoid visibility, to create like detour stories, avoid accountability by blaming the app's navigation for why you got lost and why you're coming home late. There's just several things, right? The app doesn't create rebellion. We know that because it's the posture of the child's heart that's rebellious. But what navigation does is it reduces friction and it makes disobedience and rebellion that much easier. And we know friction's good. Wait, friction trains us. It requires more of us. And that's a good thing. That's how we develop character and skills. So to summarize, this promoted benefit of smartphone ownership for kids, that is navigation. I think we can go back to 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are permissible, but not all things, and I'm going to say at all ages, are beneficial. Navigation is beneficial. for older driving teens, and for some kids who have unique circumstances where they may be routinely navigating different routes. So if that is your child in a unique circumstance and they actually need navigational support because you live in a city, they have to walk different places, you live in the mountains, they're taking trail rides, something like that, there are just better options than giving a smartphone, right, all of the time. You could do a GPS type of smartwatch. You could do a kid safe phone, again, limited access on that kid safe phone, but you could offer that Google Maps or Apple Maps, or even parent mediated planning, right? You can just plan. You can show them the way to go and expect them to remember it, to train them to remember the way to go. That's how we did it when we were kids. And so there are many ways to meet these legitimate needs for directions and safety without giving kids the entire internet and personalized design features. So let me leave you with a few questions to meditate on. Does my child know how to identify landmarks and retrace steps? Can my child recognize a safe adult and ask them for help if they become lost or disoriented? Is my child learning to be attentive and present in the real world, or are their eyes down on the device? Am I using technology to train competence and maturity, or to avoid training competence and maturity? Am I modeling trust in God or trust in technology? And does my child go to God's word for direction or to Google? Once again, hard questions to wrestle with. So I promise to be praying for all of you this week as you do. I want you to lean in and wrestle with it. Like, is this something that I believe is one of the truest benefits for giving my child a smartphone? And are there detriments to having that smartphone that are really outweighing the benefit of navigation, but you're afraid to kind of go back? We need to wrestle with that. All right, friends, that is all I have for you today. Now, join me next week as we evaluate benefit number 3 of smartphone ownership for kids, and that is documentation. It's going to be good. Thanks so much for listening. Until next week, go and be brave.